Now, how many believe that rain is essential for everything that you need as far as things that are growing? How many have ever been away for a time and you forgot to water those plants and you come back and they look like they were all shriveled up? You ever notice it doesn't matter how much care you gave to it previous? If you forget to water it will die. Yes or no? So it's not enough for our spiritual life to be filled one day and then lack moisture for another week. Would you agree? How many of us that we need to continue to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to ask you, church, do you believe if you sow to the Spirit, you receive life? How many believe that? I believe it should be a priority in our hearts that if we sow to the flesh, of the flesh we reap corruption. And I guarantee everyone here has experienced some level or degree to that. But if you sow to the Spirit, there's a promise that life will be there. Do you know the word is so powerful that it can be health to all your flesh? Now, that doesn't mean you don't have struggles, but I know that the Lord can restore. He can bring things to happen, pass. Yes or no? Well, as I'm dealing with this message today, hopefully I'll get through a lot of it, that the seed that's already been planted in your heart needs to be freshly watered again. If you could remember every sermon you've ever had preached to you, every Bible study you ever went to, every devotion you ever had, I mean, that'd be pretty awesome. But we have a tendency to let some things slip. Oh, you're all perfect in here. It is possible that even while my sermon's going on, you're thinking about something else. Oh, praise the Lord. How many of those, that could be a true fact. You could walk out of here with a great sermon and just know like one little part. What do you talk about? Jesus. How many want to be more attentive to say, God, I want to know, I want to hear your word, and I want to work it over. Any garden that you've ever had, it's more than just throwing seeds out there. You got to work it. Because one of the greatest enemies you have are weeds. You didn't plant them, yet they're in there. It's part of the curse. And it's amazing to me that a garden that isn't tended to will have weeds in it. And if the weeds grow bigger than the plant, it'll choke the life out of the plant. How many want to be free from all that? I want to be green and growing. I want to get to that place where, Lord, I'm producing a harvest. And your harvest isn't just so you can have all the food, all the fun. It's for others too. Some people need to take part of some of the love you have, some of the joy you have, some of the peace you have. That fruit can be produced that others can partake of that. Say amen. And I mean, is that when you're fruitful, you're not worried about what you're losing. It's generally when we're hoarding that we don't like it when one's taken away. It's okay to say amen. Now, if I step on your toes this morning, it's only because I love you. And it's been 2 weeks since I had a chance to unload on you, so bless the Lord. Amen. When I look today, some sit in churches with spiritual rain upon their eyebrows, blessings. They cry for more, but God can't give it because they're already full. See, we need to empty ourselves, saying, by giving, we empty, now the vessel can be filled. See, anytime water is stored for a long time in a container, it will tend to get old and stale. How many of us, when it comes to the infilling, it's a continuing filling? As I get farther in this message, you're going to see that it's a washing of regeneration. It's a renewing of the Holy Spirit. And God begins to flush out some impurities that we have. Say amen. Now, there's been times where I've seen stagnant water. How many ever seen it? How many ever smelt it? I remember one time we were had this youth camp, and they didn't have showers there. We had to use this pump. I mean, that's always a feat. Cold water, ice cold water. Well, there happened to be this little mini lake not far down the road. And we were doing this event where we got filthy. The leaders got all filthy. And we thought, you know what? We'll just jump in this little mini lake, kind of just clean off a little bit. Well, when we jumped in, the lake was so unbelievably dirty. You walked out just filthy. I wish I never would have got in there. Amen? Now, how many ever washed by a pump only? It's hard to bathe at a pump when it's 0 degree weather. Amen? Come on. But I'm thankful I still had some water. Do you believe that the washing of God's word can cleanse us from all unrighteousness? You know, one of my biggest struggles I have is right here. It needs to be renewed. There are times that attitudes can set in our hearts and we can just kind of go along with the program instead of changing with it. When you get you all good, I know that's bad English here, you'll have to deal with somebody that may not like you. You'll have to overcome some situations where, man, I didn't know I had to deal with this. Maybe something else comes in your path that now your faith is challenged. Each area of life, God knows where we're at, and he wants to bring us to maturity. Now you're in Deuteronomy 32, starting with verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as rain, my speech distill as dew, as raindrops on a tender herb and showers upon the grass. The Lord is saying, I'll speak to that tender plant. Now, when it comes to Christians, Christians that are just saved are like tender new plants. A tender plant needs to have some special nourishment. Many times we see that it begins to grow in a small pot. It's taken care of. It takes certain things. Every new believer that ever comes needs some tender care. You that have some experience in you, you have some deep roots. But it's easy to uproot a tender plant. But God wants tender plants to begin to receive the nourishment. I want more than just a boo-hoo experience at the altar and then send you on your way. I want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. There's discipleship that has to take place. And every single person needs discipleship. No matter how long you think you've been saved, you can grow in God's grace. And when you get to the place where you're getting it down, you need to start teaching it. That's good preaching, Pastor. How many knows when you start to give out, you realize how much little you know? Oh, is that kind of taking it where it needs to be? When we accept God's word as rain, God will rain upon our understanding. The seed today is being sown. The word of God is going out there. Notice the enemy. What does he attack? The word of God. Why? Because he knows that if it finds lodging, it will produce a harvest. So if you're an enemy, wouldn't you want to take out that which is most precious? No wonder today, listen, there today, I know there's people that are hungry. I never make great, we feed people all the time here at this church. But there's more of a famine for the word of God than physical food today. There's more of a famine there. And we've been eating scraps. We've been just satisfied with just a little morsel. Throw a little bit on there. And then we go and say, hey, we're full. Listen to me, when you eat a good meal, how many of you know it? Does anybody like Thanksgiving? Yes or no? How many ever eat and go, I got enough of this. Amen? You're full. You are satisfied. Now, dare I say, does anybody kind of fall asleep after that big meal? One, two, all right. How many of us, when you're satisfied, you're not looking? Now, if you have to go to multiple homes, you always got to eat the portions, true? How many ever had to travel from this dinner to this dinner? And you don't want to say you're not going to eat because that offends. Oh, you all know what I'm talking about. So you eat that portion there, you fill it up, and you're full. But you're satisfied. When you're satisfied, you no longer long for other things. The word of God is seed, according to Matthew 3:13. We need to look at that word and say, I need it to be watered. I need to take what God's given me and bring forth a new rain upon. And we all need that. Now, here in Michigan, we get ample enough rain and ample enough clouds. But if you go out west, it's hard to find something green and growing. How many ever been out west before? How many of us said sometimes when a dust bowl blows in, it's serious dirt. And when you look out, it's nothing green. Everybody who comes up here and stays with us that lives out west goes, oh, it's so green here. They marvel at how much vegetation we have. Cool. But you can be green and growing and still not producing. How many want to produce a harvest? Jesus will always come to our spiritual garden, as it were, and look for fruit. He's always looking at that area because he wants to partake also of that arena. Aren't we created for his pleasure? It says in Revelation 4, I've been created for his pleasure. So with that, he wants to enjoy our life, and he wants us to have the Christ type of life that we should have. I don't want to live below my means. Say amen. Look at verse 2, Deuteronomy 32, 2. I'm going to read from American translation. It says this, let my teachings drop as rain, my speech as distilled like dew, the raindrops of a tender herb and showers on a freshly mown grass. I like that translation. It's like this. It's like, let that teaching be like rain falling on freshly. How many ever smell grass that's just been cut? There's a distinct smell to it. It has a certain fragrance to it. But also there's a side where, how many knows when you mow it down, you've cut it short? How many ever felt like you've been mowed down before in life? That lawnmower of life seemed to just to cut you down. You didn't ask for it, but it was there. Maybe a situation that's hurt you in your life. Amen? You're living right, you're doing the best you know how to do, and suddenly the height and the growth is just cut low. Do you know that grass that is cut is a good thing? It'll produce more. Whenever you feel like you've been mowed down, God's only making more room for you. He's only allowing you to experience more. In the back of my father's property, when he just sold, there were times where it just grew up and we would ask farmers if they just wanted to bale it. Well, it was big enough, it was 5 acres, so they could do it, but it wasn't really a lot to bring all the equipment. So the last couple of years that the farmer says, well, I just don't really want to do it. It does some, but not enough. And I noticed how it grew. It started to grow up, then it would lay down. And it really almost stunted itself. Because I noticed when they did several cuttings, it would seem like it would just keep shooting up and shooting up. But when it was done, not being mowed anymore, it stunted itself. Even if you've been a Christian for a long time, you may have grown big, but now you're not growing like you should anymore. Amen? Listen, when a mow-down experience happens in your life, let's start looking at it that God's making room for something. Because sometimes our first inclination is that, hey, what's God doing? Listen, if God's mowing you down, there's a purpose. Not to hurt you, but that God would be your strength. In Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in you. I love that. Blessed is the man. I've noticed that when God begins to mow things down, it's only so you can dig a well. I said, you can dig a well. In that valley of Baraka, it says this, it's a weeping place. Sometimes when that time when you're really hurting and you're weeping before the Lord, somebody can come by and drink the tears of which you just shared. Your life experience can help another individual. Listen, it's all of us in this room. If you live long enough, I guarantee that somebody will pass away in your lifetime. I pray that it's never your kids before you. Say amen. It's the hardest to bury a child when you're still living. When the spring brings forth water, listen to me, pain and discouragement can force us to give up or dig a well. Self-pity says, what am I doing wrong? Where's God at? Despair says, you know what? I'm hopeless. Nothing can get better. But when you finally realize that, hey, I've went through this situation. There was pain, there was hurt, there was weeping, but I left a well. And somebody who comes up behind me has something to drink. I mean, that's a good thing. Sometimes we shy away from everything that brings some pain. You know what? I've learned pain can be a good teacher. You know what pain does? It gets you focused too, doesn't it? Yes or no? Listen, sometimes you may feel like you've been mowed down. I remember at another church I was at, this gentleman was ready to retire, 29 and a half years. He was telling me, Pastor, I got 6 more months. I'm putting in 30. I'm retiring. I have everything set up what I want to do. I rejoice with him. 2 weeks later, he came in and says, Pastor, they're closing my whole company down. Shutting it all down. I don't know what's going to happen to my pension yet. How many think instantly it changed? So I began to pray with him. I go, you know what? Let's pray that God's favor will work this out. Let's pray that God will just step in and help in your situation. When you're faced with that, when it's out of control, who do you hold on to? Who do you go to? What source do you have in you that you can draw from? Is it, where's God at? Or God doesn't care. Where is it? Or you're saying, you know what? My tears will be a place. Maybe my tears will even soften my own hard ground. Lord, I want to dig a new well. Amen. I feel like I've been mowed down. Whatever green I was, whatever big I was, really is irrelevant now. But you're doing something greater. Amen. Well, I pray with them. I says, you know what? Let's just pray God will work. God worked it out for the gentleman. He got everything he needed. He was rejoicing. Amen. You ever notice when you get to the other side of the problem, you wondered why you battled so much while you were in the problem? Oh, nobody in here. You're all perfect. I mean, sometimes we got to just trust in the Lord. And we put too much stock in the temporary. Are you eternal people? Yes or no? Are you going to live forever? Then we need to look at this lifetime as a vapor. Don't make these problems here a lifetime. They're a vapor. Let's start looking at things saying, keep it in perfect. God's trying to make you the best you can be. Forever. Amen? When I look at the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 4, he comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may comfort those, listen, who are in the same, with the comfort we ourselves have been comforted by God. The spiritual process is, listen to me, I've helped you, now I've qualified you to help somebody else. You all know when people are faking, oh, I know what you're going through. Dude, you're only 10 years old. How can you know? Now, a 10-year-old can experience something, but how many knows by the time you're 50, you've experienced a whole lot more. But what comfort you've received, you can comfort somebody else. God can take that area. Lord, let it rain. Let it rain upon those things. We need more moisture in Michigan when it comes to our spiritual lives. There's a lot of seed that's been out there. A lot of people have green and grown, but now they're just kind of laying over in the field. They've stunted themselves from receiving more. Thank God for the mow down situations. Thank God when you have to walk through it and you don't want to walk through it. Now, I'm not praying that bad things happen to you, but God will see you through them. God will be with you through them. He'll walk with you through them. That what comfort you've received, you'll be able to give it to somebody else. The personal experience you've all walked in are great help and comfort. Say amen. Amen. I still remember going through some of those radiation treatments. Everybody in there that I was dealing with was sick. And I could see the despair in their eyes. Many of them don't have the hope of eternal life. They don't have the Christ who walks with them. I mean, this is an excellent opportunity to share your faith. Look, wherever the Lord places you, take advantage of those situations. You don't have to blast people out of the water with the gospel, but you can share in love who is your source. That may be just what they need that day. And don't forsake the gifts of the Spirit either. God can give you a word of wisdom, word of knowledge on a situation. Amen? In Deuteronomy 32, verse 3, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. How many of us, that's an awesome thing. You need to proclaim the name of the Lord. You want this rain to work? Who is your source? Christ is my source. Jesus, you are Lord. Amen? I speak to this barren situation. It's going to change. I'm going to sow some water, some seeds on that area in prayer. Some of you have sowed that you're still waiting for a harvest. Sow again in that area. If it's real earnest in your heart, tears will join with it. God, work in their life. Lord, touch in the name of Jesus. Like many of you know, my father's in the sunset years of his life. He needs to turn to our Lord. And I'm praying that all these things that are coming up are getting his attention. Amen. How many of the Lord can still do it? He can reach down and touch. He can speak a word. Sometimes when you trust in what you have, you'll lose that. Amen. In the midst of it, do we proclaim him? Notice that when there's something of importance or we enjoy an event, we usually clap for it, true? Somebody steps up and we show honor. We do that. Is the Lord worthy of that? Yes, Jeff touched a little bit on it, on giving. I believe what Jeff believes there. When we give to the Lord, don't make it like, oh, I got to put it. No. Lord, I celebrate you. David learned that thing, says, you know what? I won't give something to the Lord. Doesn't cost me something. And yet at the end of his life, he was unbelievably blessed. Yeah. Would you agree? He helped fund Solomon's temple. He gave a ton to it. How many want to be able to give a ton to it? Oh, the Lord can do it. But he celebrates. Lord, I thank you. It's no different upon rain upon your seed. You look at that area and say, you know what? I'm going to sow in righteousness. I'm going to take this seed that's been planted and I'm going to water it. I'm going to find a way to pray over that, to speak over that until it starts to germinate. Souls that come to Christ are people who have been prepared and receive what God has. Look at you in this room. If God saved you, everybody else is easy. But what did it take in prayer for you to come to know him that you didn't even know somebody was praying for you? What did it take? What witness word? Who sowed in that area of the Spirit that you came alive in Christ? We also need to do this. We just can't hope for people to be saved or go, let's hope they come. No, you need to speak it in prayer. You need to believe for it. You need to call that out. You need to put some saturated prayer on that arena. Is this good this morning? I want all of you to begin to rain, to let it fall from heaven. When we pursue the Lord, something incredible happens. In Hosea 6, verse 3, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. As his going forth is established as the morning, he will come like rain, former and latter upon us. As we seek him, he'll come like rain. And oh, do we need rain on Michigan spiritually? We need the rain to come. We need it to flow. We need to move in areas. Rain will saturate. Like you've ever had a hole in your roof or your car or your window's been down. It doesn't take much to saturate your area. Amen? I've done that bonehead thing. Knew it was going to rain. Forgot to roll up my windows. Guess what happens? Amen? I had one in the car. I had T-tops on it. I had the windows rolled up. Forgot to put the T-tops back in. You know how much rain can come in through a T-top roof? Oh, what a bonehead. I had nobody to blame. And then it got hot the next day. And you know how that humidity sets in? It was so ridiculous. I remember sitting in it and went, oh. Sometimes you just got to go, what? No one forgot it but me. Sometimes fessing up to it's a good step. If you've missed it, that's okay. Get up and keep going. We want rain to fall, right? If we want rain to fall, we have to pursue after the giver of the rain. Then, Lord, I'm going to seek after you. Your own private times, seek after the Lord. What you do in secret, God will reward you openly. And listen to me. You have that with you. You can carry that. Well, what if you meet a seed, the word's been planted, but it's dry? It can flow like a river from you and water that seed that's even planted. Isn't that cool? Doesn't it say lay hands on the... We've laid hands on too many well people. You lay hands on the sick, and what happens to them? What happens to them? They'll recover, true? Then what is the church about? It isn't just a collective group so we can all look at each other and be pretty. It's about being about our Father's business. Amen? And if we're saturated, the word is there, you know what? There'll be different seasons in harvest. Sometimes it'll be a planting area. Sometimes it'll be a growing phase, sometimes it'll be a maturing phase, and sometimes it'll be a harvest phase. But you can be in all the cycles all the time. And Scripture makes it clear, if you keep sowing your bread upon the water, on every wave it'll begin to come back in. How many want to have that in your lifetime? I am not there yet, but I want that in my life. Some of you have sowed seeds in other places. That seed is still good. Even if you're not there, God will still bring the harvest back to you because He knows where the fields are and He knows who planted it. And nobody is going to steal your harvest. When I used to farm as a younger man, there were certain fields that we leased. And we got an agreement with the owner. Generally, we would help them with their taxes or give them a portion of the crops. Worked out a deal. It usually was beneficial for them and beneficial for those who leased. Well, I remember one time we had this field already done, ready leased. Somebody went in early and tried to take it from us. Got their equipment out there, started to plant, and all of a sudden we show up with equipment. Like, what are you doing here? Well, we got permission from the owner. No, you don't. How many of those, that was a battle out in the field? This person, no, they gave me this. No, you didn't. Listen, when tractors are in the field and you're ready to plant, you can't be combative. That doesn't get the crop in the ground. Hear this. Neither can you plant over what's been planted. You'll destroy both. Oh, I could go there. So we said, you know what? We're just going to go over to the owner and find out for sure. Owner was elderly. It's hard for the individual to get out. Look, we have a conflict problem. This person said that I gave it to you guys. How many knows the Lord of the harvest will always defend His own? Even if somebody's trying to take your field, you go back to the source. Say amen. How many knows that you don't have to squabble? Don't fight with the enemy in like dirty words and things. Just speak in the name of Jesus, be gone. What did Jesus do when Satan be gone? Cast him out. He didn't have to have a big dialogue in Jesus' name. How many of those authoritarian words need to be spoken in those situations? Sometimes you just need to use what God's given you, speak to that mountain, and be gone. Is this good this morning, enjoying this? How many want to see it rain? We need new rain. Listen to me, for this rain to come, we also need to deal with something the church wants to keep quiet about, is sin. We have to deal with sin. I'm not here to pick out individual situations, but you know where you're failing. Work on that. Lord, work in this area. Lord, change this area. That's an area that's not producing. God, help me. Would you all agree we've all sinned in this room? How many have failed after you've even been saved? Then we need that grace. We want rain to come, then I can't be the stoppage. Lord, change me. I want it to flow. Like all of you in this room, I want to be more like Him. In Jeremiah 3, verse 3, therefore the showers have been withheld. There has been no latter rain. You have been like a harlot's forehead. You refuse and you're ashamed. In Scripture, it's clear that, listen, if we continue in sin, we hold back what God wants to bless us with, what God wants to pour upon. I want to be a church that God says, I'm well pleased. Amen? I want to be part of that area. That means members in particular. Now, don't think I'm thinking of you when I make this message. Amen. But if God convicts you, say, Lord, I need it. Amen. Lord, I need it. How many want to be more like Him? I do too. I want to see this new, fresh rain come. I've seen it where the people have grown and matured and now it just kind of lays over. I took a good look at that on Saturday. I go, the field's still good. That wheat or that alfalfa is still good, but it needs to be cut down. It needs to be mown over. Sometimes when alfalfa gets too dry, it actually becomes harmful to the animals. There's a certain time where it gets to the place where it becomes brittle. It becomes like sticks. It becomes like sticks in their throats. So even a good farmer will look, that hay may be good for bedding, but not for feed anymore. When it's just right and it's dried just right, it becomes great nourishment. Well, I don't want to be like sticks, true? Lord, I want to be mature and growing in that grace. We used to have these balers where it would go back and it would compact. And then the new ones now are these big old cylinder type things. Back then, we used to have to take them off and throw them up on wagons. We had to do the hard way. Well, after about 500 bales, it got pretty tough on you. The green ones weighed almost 90 pounds. I used to swing them like this, up to the top. We'd see how high we could get them up there. Then after a while, we had to tear it because you couldn't go that high. But when they were all done and they were in the barn, there was satisfaction. You should not be satisfied until people are coming to know him, growing in his grace and safe within his barn. That needs to be all of us. That means they're maturing in their faith. They've taken from a tender shoot now to green and growing. Amen? To see this rain fall upon us, we need to learn to accept the rain. Lord, let it rain. I need to accept what it is. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we want a displacement or a replacement from God flooding the land. We need to say, Lord, I need what you have. Listen, if you're here and you're newly planted, good, keep growing. If you feel like you've been mowed down, you're in the right place. But now accept. Now here's another thing. I'm going to go to another level. What about when God brings a flood in? No one likes a flood. Flood does terrible things. Thank God in Michigan, we really don't get them like that. Now if you're next to creeks, I understand. But as a whole, hurricanes kind of dissipate by the time they get to us. Would you agree? Hurricane down south is a terrible word. But when God brings a flood in, it's not to hurt you. It's to cleanse you. It also gets you to the position where you climb on the rock for your safety. How many hear the word? Is Jesus your rock? Can you go to him in the midst of it? So I've learned that even when things are out of control and things are flooding in, it's only to purify you. It's to change your insides to be greater in Christ. To flush out what you need. Oh, I'm preaching now. When God's speaking to you in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. We should accept the rain and say, he's my rock. When the rain gets heavy and it creates a flood of everything else coming into our life, the very depths are there. It needs to stir you and everything in you to change. Do you know the Lord is doing that right now, but people are resisting him and just looking at circumstances. I want you to look, if you're going through something, God's working with you and for you. He knows how to change you into the best you can be in Christ. How many are following along? Some of you are looking at me like, huh? When I look at a flood, flood demands total displacement. It moves away what is there. It changes your past. Hallelujah, makes a present better, and your future is glorious. When a flood is cleansed, listen to me, the flood that God brings doesn't bring destruction, but cleansing power. Lord, bring it on. Amen? I don't want a sprinkle. I want a flood. I want to be able to stand upon the rock and take what you have. How many think that man or woman will walk away different? Moses experienced it, Joshua experienced it, Caleb experienced it, even Jesus experienced it. He was filled. This rain typifies a cleansing from our old stuff. God wants our purity and worship. There's no mixture between old and new. I'm not talking about songs. I'm talking about secular and that which is spiritual. God wants a flood to come in and wipe that stuff away. As Lighthouse, we need a flood to come through these doors. The flood of old ways and things that are like dead in sin. I've been in churches where, you know what? It's so dry, people don't even know they're dry. I've been to funerals where like there's not even the word of God there. And people are like, they don't even know. But when fresh water comes in, it's different. Amen? I don't want ankle deep. I want head deep where I can swim in his stuff, swim in his presence. Amen? I want to be saturated. I just don't want to get wet. I don't want to be sprinkled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled. We used to sing this song, I got a river of life flowing out of me. It makes the lame to walk in what? Oh man, look at that. Think about that song. That song says you have the power to make this happen and this happen. Aren't we accountable for this stuff? Or is it just nice songs? Come on, people. We need to look and say, Lord, bring it, God. Bring a fresh rain. Lord, start with a saturation. Take that seed, God. And Lord, I'm not satisfied with it. I'm going to go on the rock, which is always higher than anything you ever need. Lord, bring it. Amen? Bring it. Lord, wipe away. Lord, let it be such a thing that everything I trust in the natural begins to be brought from me. That I can just trust on him. Amen? And you know what? You won't drown. Because your feet are upon the what? The rock. Notice what the flood does. Gets you to the place where you just trust in him and him alone. That's a good place for all of us to be. Are you enjoying this message? I'm going to stop here. There's so much more I need to cover on that. How many want to see your seed be watered? Let me see your hand. How many have sowed seeds over the year that you need to see a harvest come back? I want you to revisit those seeds in prayer. If it's been people you prayed for, I want you to revisit that. I had a young person come to mind that I haven't seen in I don't know how many years, 20 plus years. It just came to me like, Lord, I'm going to pray for that individual. Let's revisit that. Secondly here, how many feel like you've been mowed down? It's like, man, things are cool, but man, you just like, you've been cut down, like, man, just down to a shoot again. Anybody else? That isn't a pleasant experience, but you know what? The Lord's seeing you in that. He's going to give you increase with it. Keep going in it. How many here have had times of great agony that your tears became like a well? Like nobody knows, but man, it's been that secret place like you've just been sowing it. Listen to me. Somebody's going to be able to come along and drink. It's not in vain. Fourth thing here is, I don't want to be in that flood. I don't want to be afraid of what God's going to do, but let it rain. Let it wash away everything I don't need. How many of us, that's a spiritual principle. I'm not talking about the natural losing your house. I'm talking about a spiritual principle. Lord, let it just wash away attitudes, actions. And I'm going to cling to the rock. And you'll find out those who cling to the rock, it's pretty big. There's a lot of room and a lot of people are there. You really find out who's really trusting the Lord because they're on the rock too. You enjoy this morning?